Thank you, Lord.
Lord, what
can we say? Your word is clear enough. And as Paul prayed, that you would grant us, Father, a spirit of wisdom and revelation. Amen. To open our understanding. We do not want to be those who are dull of hearing. Yes. Although things are definitely hard for us to understand. But you can open our understanding. You can enlighten the eyes of our heart. You can renew our mind. You can anoint us. Teach us by the anointing.
Amen.
We do pray this for all the saints in Zion.
Amen.
Young and old.
Amen.
Right. Praise you. We trust in you.
Amen.
Definitely, you're not going to give us the words that we cannot understand. But you have given us a wonderful teacher, indwelling in us, the holy anointing who will teach us all things.
Amen.
We praise you. Bless our fellowship
Amen.
Tonight. Amen. Yeah. I really have not much to say because it's all written, right? Yeah. And I appreciate it says we don't need teachers anymore. Isn't that wonderful?
Amen.
Right. It's so good because we are not children anymore. Mm-hmm. Right? How many years have you been a Christian?
I can remember.
Wow, you cannot even remember how long. That means you must be very old. an old Christian, right? Yeah. You should have long graduated. Right? We should all have been teachers today. After so many years, this is why I told the brothers, no outline, because we're all lined out.
All lined out.
We don't need it anymore. Right, Sam? Do you still need an outline? What are you going to do an outline here in chapter 6? Right? Yeah, we do need some fellowship, which is good. To review it together, to have fellowship together. Yeah. Right. Because, indeed, I see so many brothers and sisters here sitting around. Right, Stefan? Do you still need a teacher to teach you the Bible? Bible school? Who can replace the anointing within you? Who can be a better teacher? Nah, Ju-chan, do you need a teacher? You already have one. And he's dwelling in you. He's called the anointing. And it says the anointing will teach you some things.
All things.
A few things. Really? Then we can close the meeting and let us all go home.
Yeah.
Isn't that better?
Yeah.
Right, Elizabeth? Yeah. We all have been a believer for so many years. We should have graduated. Elizabeth, did you graduate high school? No, stay there, stay there. Going to college is very difficult. You better stay in high school, okay? Yeah, return your diploma. Do you want to do that? No. Right. And this is what God is telling us. The length of time you should have been teachers. You should be teaching others. Why are we still teaching old-time students, eternal students? You know, in Germany, there are students that are called eternal students. That was before, but I think they threw it out because it's not good to have eternal students. You want to be an eternal student? An ewiger Student, gell?
Yes.
Haben wir noch in Deutschland solche Studenten?
Nicht mehr.
Nicht mehr, natürlich nicht mehr. Why do we throw that away? It's a waste of money. The state has to pay the students, and it's so easy. I don't have to go to work. I can be an eternal student, and the city, the state even have to pay for me to go to school. Hey, how about that?
Fantastic.
Fantastic, you see? Somebody agreed with me. Fantastic. Isn't it fantastic?
It's a drain on the society.
Do you want to be an eternal student of the church sitting there? After 50 years, you still sit there and need a pastor? No, we need to grow up and be teaching others. Right, Stefan? Sam, you want to go back to kindergarten? Right. You should be training others to be optometrists, right? And you have been doing that. Right. This is what we all need to do. And I'm serious about it. This is why I said, no more outline. Even no more conferences. Why do you still need conferences? So I even told the brother, don't call it conference anymore.
Gathering.
Gathering of the saints.
Yeah.
Just to have fellowship with one another. Yeah. Right. To encourage one another. To pray for one another. One thing that we should do without ceasing is not to preach and teach and hold conferences, yeah, but to pray for one another. Without ceasing, pray. Right? You should start praying for Isaac already. Oh, good. It's so good. What is the Lord doing today before the throne and before the Father? What is He doing? Teaching? Giving angels some conferences? What is intercession?
Prayer.
Unceasing. Prayers. You don't need much teachers. You need prayers from the Lord.
Amen.
If we would have less teaching but more prayers for one another, that would be great. That would be wonderful. But unfortunately, we all like to be teachers. We like to tell others what to do. Sophia, do this. And stop doing that. And be this and be that. We all like to be teachers. Right, brother? In Scots Day, what do you need? Teachers. Oh, praise the Lord, Gamma. Yeah, you see. And I really mean it. For the length of time that we have been believers and knowing the Lord, experiencing Him for so many years and decades, that even this eternal pew sitters, right? They're professional pew sitters, professional church attendants, listening to preachers decades after decades. They're addicted to it. We have experienced that before, right? And I don't see anybody graduating. They're glued to the pews. May we not be like that. This is why we have these chapters telling us, don't be such a person, such a Christian. Yeah, we need such kind of encouragement today. That does not mean we don't need fellowship anymore. That doesn't mean that, okay, we understand 100% everything. You know, once upon a time, some time ago, I heard an older brother says, I've seen already everything that needed to be seen in the Bible. Don't believe in that. We need constant revelation and teaching from the anointing. We have actually the best teacher indwelling in us. The problem is you don't talk to him. You don't ask him. Because you are traditionally used to asking the pastors. Let them pass away. That's why they're called pastors.
That's the way.
Right. Pray for one another. Paul even says, pray for me. Even he needs prayers. If we would pray for one another, it'll be great, it'll be wonderful. Yeah. So, what can I say? We have such a wonderful, great high priest. Right. Traditional Christianity emphasized the Savior, Jesus Christ, who was crucified for us. Again and again. Almost every Sunday we talk about redemption. Believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. Be saved. You have to be saved. If you listen to the same gospel message week after week, even if you're a Christian, you're fulfilling what the Bible says. You're laying again and again and again the foundation. Right? There was a group I know in Korea. And it's called Salvation Group or something like that. And all they preach is salvation, 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 and salvation. My goodness, they are just building foundations and that's it. Where is our wonderful brother who is a architect? Oh, yeah. Are you specialized in building foundations?
No.
What can we say? Chapter 6 is really wonderful. Let me just go to chapter 6 and just share this one point. Leaving the discussion of the word of elementary principle of Christ. Here's my granddaughter there. How come you don't stay in elementary school? Isn't that better? It's easier, right? You get A, straight A's in every subject. After you're 10 years in elementary school, you will get straight A's, right? You'll be a top student. What a top elementary student. Right? But no, you have to go on. You have to go on. You like to go back to kindergarten? It's even easier. No homework, just playing. No. Spiritually, there is also a kindergarten, a children's meeting, right? We have children's meeting here. Yeah? What do they do there, Sharon? Games. Yes. Well, at least biblical games.
Sometimes, yeah.
Only sometimes. Well, it has to be interesting for them, right? Otherwise, they will fall asleep.
Yeah.
Right. But here it tells us it's also there's also elementary school of Christ. Elementary teachings of Christ. But then you have to go on to perfection, to more maturity, from kindergarten to elementary school. Right? But then you have to leave the elementary. You have to go higher, to high school. But how come you don't desire to know more concerning this wonderful Christ? Yeah. Don't you want to know more about Him? Yeah. Not laying again the foundation of repentance, of dead works, faith toward God, the teachings and baptisms, laying on of hands, the resurrection from the dead or of the dead, and eternal judgment. They just keep on repeating this again and again and again. Right. According to Hebrews chapter 6, you're laying again the foundation. No, we want to go on with the Lord. Yeah. It's important for you to read and understand that problem in chapter 6. I'm sorry, here in chapter 6. The problem is do not lay again the foundation, because it's already laid. Once the foundation is laid, you don't have to lay it again. How many layers of foundation do you need to lay? Just one. And a solid one too. Once it's laid, you don't need to repeat it. Yep, and that is why the first part is very important to understand the second part, the following verse. For it is impossible for those who are already in high school to go back to elementary school, right? You like to go back? Well, it's free. Yeah. Your dad doesn't have to work so hard to pay. Right? So, go back to elementary school. Oh, okay, not elementary, high school. Stay there. Okay? At least you'll be staying at home and not having to go so far away to Toronto. If I were you, I'll just stay home. It's easier, isn't it? But you should tell me, Grandpa, it's impossible. Right? Your mom will tell me, it's impossible. Don't give my daughter wrong advice. So, for it is impossible for those who were once enlightened. Yeah, you really believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. How many times do you have to start believing again? How many times do you have to be baptized? Isn't it better to do it twice? Even 10 times, the more the better. Right? Are you baptized? What? How many times? Is that enough? 10 times is better. Hmm? Right? Oh, you mean 20 times is even better?
Keeps with the same one.
But swimming is different than baptism, okay? It is impossible for those who were once enlightened, baptized, believing in the Lord Jesus Christ, right? Even tasted the good word of God, and even experienced the power of the age to come. You need to experience that. Because everybody, all the Christians are complaining they are weak, weak, oh, I'm so weak. They want to be more powerful, right? But it says you can taste the power of the world to come. Mm-hmm. You have the authority of Christ to bind Satan, to overcome the enemy. They will be under your feet. Right. So, wow. To taste the powers of the age to come. That's not kindergarten, okay? That's not even elementary school. That's on the college level. So which level are you now? Elementary school? Uh-huh. You graduated, right? High school? You also graduated. College? Right. So if you have tasted all these, and then you slipped, like our brother Moses says, the word means you tripped. Don't think only the children tripped. Have you ever tripped? The taller you are, the harder you fall.
I can testify to that.
Isn't it true? If the little Ileana fell down, it's not as bad as when you fall down.
That's why she gets up so fast.
You're right. If I fell down, oh, somebody have to carry me to the hospital. And if these people who have experienced so much, even tasted the power of the age to come, slipped, fell down, even if the fall is sometimes hard, Because you're heavier. Yeah. Even if you're trained to fall, you know, you have to train to fall. Otherwise, you're going to break your head or break your nose. Yeah. So, it's impossible if they fall to renew them again to repentance. Is it true? No. Right. So the seven churches, the Lord says, it's impossible now for you to repent. What does the Lord tell? What does the Lord tell them? Lord, you have not read Paul's writing in Hebrews chapter 6. It's impossible for them to repent. Right? Right, Timo? The Lord forgot the word, his own word in Hebrews chapter 6. No. That means you don't have to. It's impossible to start from the very beginning to repent and be saved again, and to be rebaptized. That means you lost everything once you fell. Then if you fall, you have to go back to your mother's womb, okay? Is it possible?
No, impossible.
Then you're through, you're done.
No.
You're finished. You won't exist anymore. No hope for you. Is that what it means?
No.
Definitely not. Right? You don't have to be reborn again. Is it possible to get into your mother's womb again? Ah, is your mother here? Ah, no, she's not here.
She's on TV.
Even if you want to, she would say, no. Because it's impossible. Impossible in a way that it's not needed. It's a strong word to assure us there's no need of doing that. So what happened if you fall? Get up again. Maybe not as fast as Eliana, but you have to get up. You have to get up. Even if it's slowly, you'll get up. So if you read from the very beginning and what Paul is trying to say, you don't have to. You already laid a foundation. Don't have to do it again. To renew and lay another layer of foundation is impossible. Can you crucify Christ again for yourself? So, but this is a very misunderstood verse, saying if you fall, it's impossible, right? Because you are re-crucifying Christ again. Who said that? Can you re-crucify Christ again?
Possible.
Try it. Next time, bring Christ down again. So you have to die again because I fell. Right? So if you made a mistake, if you fell into some kind of a temptation as a Christian, you should say, Lord, come back again and be re-crucified for me. How about that? You think the Lord will do that?
No.
What did Hebrew tell us? How many times Christ has to be crucified?
Once for all.
You see? It's written so clearly, only once for all. Otherwise, goodness, he would have to be crucified many, many times a day again, because so many Christians fell many times. So each one fell, and you fell, he fell. The Lord has to come back every day to be crucified. How many times? Is it possible? It's unnecessary. Hebrews clearly tells us once for all. So even to understand that verse, that if you fell and you made a mistake, even if it's a terrible mistake, okay, you're crucifying Christ. No, impossible. Can you do that? Can you crucify Christ? No. And can you ask Christ to come down and crucify again for you?
I can ask, but it's not going to happen.
Don't even care to ask, okay? No. Please don't ask him again to come down and crucify for you. Because all the angels will be laughing at you. What? Vince said that? So, we need to be enlightened from the Lord. As in, no. If you failed in high school, do you have to start in kindergarten again? Why not? Go back. You don't need to. You don't need to. Rise up and go on. Go on. Right? And even Paul, don't think Paul already reached the goal. He says, no, not that I've been already perfected or have reached the goal. You think Paul never failed? Paul says, who is weak and I'm not? Who burns in the heart and he not? You think he's a Superman? Even Superman has kryptonite problem. There's no such thing as Superman. Yeah. No. There's no need for that. It's even impossible. Each time you die, you fell, or you are defeated, you crucify Christ. Or Christ has coming, be crucified again for you. Of course. It's nonsense. And this is what it means. Laying, not laying again the foundation of repentance. You do have to be rebaptized again. Then how many times do you have to be rebaptized? Impossible. Right. But there is a warning. So the next few verses are a warning. The Lord brought down rain so that all the plants and trees will grow and bear fruit. But if they don't bear fruit, but bears herbs, well, things not good, thorns and briars, it is rejected at the end. Near to being cursed, whose end is to be burned. But, beloved, we are confident of better things concerning you. We're not like that. No, nope. Praise the Lord. Peter, are you perfect? Never made any mistake? Never quarrel with your wife? No problem at all? But praise the Lord, we're all like that, Peter. You're not the only one, okay? But we can always rise up and continue to pursue Christ. We have the precious blood. And we have a great high priest who sympathizes with us. Because he went through all the challenges, the worst challenges. It's a wonderful, great high priest. He's not just crucified. Actually, dying on the cross is so easy compared to all the 3.5 years of his problems with all those people who want to kill him, who did so many terrible things to him, lied about him, and even his own disciples. Right. So hanging on the cross is just 3 hours, 4 hours maybe, and then he passed away. He died. So, but in the 3.5 years in his ministry, day and night he was challenged. Isaiah 53 tells us very clearly. He went through all kinds of sufferings. Yeah. Maybe we thought hanging on the cross is the worst. Well, but it's just for a few hours. Then it's finished. But his constant daily suffering for 3.5 years there, for us, it's unbearable. Even just a tiny problem, right? It's already difficult to bear, right? So some people say, I'd rather die than to suffer. Because it's easier, right? A dead man suffers no more. So that's why it says, rest in peace. But if you're alive, you have to go to work and daily, and you have to deal with so many different problems, you come home day by day like that for how many years now? So what do you prefer? So you can see, our Lord is just a wonderful, great high priest who went through all the worst suffering for your sake, for my sake, for our sake. His sufferings as a live person is more than the crucifixion. Maybe you never thought this way, right? Have you? That's why he has to cry with vehement cry and prayers. When he is hanging there, can he pray? Father, please, get me out of the cross. No. But going through those terrible sufferings, unbearable for him. Don't think he just suffered in a normal way. No. He went through all kinds of suffering of human being. So nobody can say, oh, the Lord doesn't understand my suffering. Oh, don't say that. Everybody usually thought, my suffering is worse. Nobody understands me, right? Have you ever thought that? Oh, you're an exception. So But remember, although we don't suffer like our Lord Jesus Christ, nobody could bear it, okay? Only He could bear such suffering. Yeah? But we need to gain Christ. There's no reason why we do not turn to this great high priest. Yeah? Great high priest. He can sympathize with us, with every weakness. So don't complain that you're weak, because there's one that can sympathize and help you. That's why he's called an anchor of our soul. What is an anchor? Just a hook somewhere on the wall? How big is the ship? The bigger, the heavier the anchor. It has to go down all the way so that the ship will not be drifting away, right? The Lord is such an anchor. Now, trust in Him. Trust in this wonderful great high priest. Not just one crucified. How many hours? Just a few hours. And how many hours in the grave? End of the first day, a whole second day, and then early in the morning he rose. So 3 days, but not 24, three. So he just rested. The end of the first day, the whole second day, and early in the third day he rose again. So that's 3 days, but not. How many hours? 72 hours? No. Yeah. Because God will not suffer His Holy One to see corruption. If it's 3 full days, it's hard for Him. He'll be like Lazarus. Stinks, he stinks already. But no, it's written, He will not suffer His Holy One to see corruption. Yeah. Tasting death, yeah, but He didn't see corruption. They didn't break His bones. No. His body did not disintegrate. But the main core of His suffering is His human living. Mm-hmm. His human living. Anybody wants to kill you when you were born? Hmm? Who among us, when you were born, somebody wants to, you're dead? Hmm? No? How about you, Ethan? No. But the Lord Jesus, when He was born, Herod wanted Him dead. So the angels told the parents, escape to Egypt for a little while until the murderer died. And so many children became martyrs for baby Jesus. Can you imagine that? But when you were born, yeah, in a manger, very comfortable. So, our Lord, don't think He was. He lived a simple life. Even His own siblings, brothers and sisters, at least half brothers and half sisters, they didn't believe in Him. They even mocked Him. So all that suffering is for our sake. It's for our sake. It's amazing. We have such a great high priest. You need to appreciate that and to experience it. To experience it. Every step of the way in the life of our Lord Jesus Christ is for us. All of his sufferings that he went through is for you and me. So when you are suffering, don't think, oh, nobody understands you. Yeah? No. Nope. There's someone who understands you very well. Yeah? He was despised. He was despised. He was betrayed by one of his own disciples. And denied 3 times by his top disciples. What would you do? Fire him, right? You're fired, Peter. Or not this Peter. It's that Peter who denied our Lord 3 times. But the Lord did not fire him. Many times I told the Lord I quit. But the Lord says, no quitting. You're not fired, you're hired. What can I say? What a great, wonderful high priest. He is really more than what qualified to help us in every situation. Much more than the Lamb of God that was crucified on a cross as our sin offering. That happened so quickly and finished and done. But to be constituted as a great high priest to sympathize with us. He has to go through all that. Otherwise, Vince, what are you complaining about? It's just a toothache, a headache. And it's just this problem, that problem, so small, right? You already complain. You think the Lord will say that to you? You're complaining about Isaac not drinking. Now, the Lord understood and sympathized, meaning to say he feels it with you while you're going through suffering, because he went through it. He knew how it felt. He knew. Praise the Lord. The Lord will tell you, I know. Stephen, I know. You don't even have to describe it to him. Yeah, because he knew. Don't tell the Lord, oh, you don't understand what I'm going through. The Lord will say, you thought. He understands. He felt it. He went through it. And he is able to give aid. Not to the angels, it says particularly. The angels are going to be thrown, those fallen ones, into the lake of fire. That's where they will land. Yeah. But for us, he is giving aid. Why the Lord used the word aid? That means he knew exactly what you need for that exact precise situation. He didn't just throw a lot of things to you and say, okay, you help yourself. Figure it out. But here, I gave you all the medicine in a box. You try out all the medication. And by chance, you might try the right one. No, he knew exactly what I need in my situation. This has been my experience. The Lord knew exactly my case. He is a specialist. He went through every kind of sufferings. Yeah. So, amen. It's so good that the Lord says, but beloved, we are confident of better things concerning you. Right? Things that accompany salvation. Though we speak in this manner, Paul wrote, it sounds strange and fearful and terrible, but it's exactly what we need. Because many times we thought, in my situation, I'm hopeless. Nobody can help me. Don't say nobody, okay? Because there's always one, the Lord himself. The great heavenly high priest can help you. Right, Gamma? Praise the Lord. I hope that this weekend, we have introduced to you not just Jesus, the Savior who was crucified, but Jesus, the great heavenly high priest, according to the order of Melchizedek, who existed already from eternity and appeared to Abraham 4,000 years ago. And he is still here today. So, who is Jesus? Not just the Savior who was crucified. Today he is this great high priest, not like Aaron, but according to the order of Melchizedek. You can see in chapter 7, without father, without mother, without beginning of days, end of life. Yeah, make like unto the Son of God, because he is Son of God. Able to save us to the uttermost and help us in every situation. Praise God. Amen. So, just to go to the end here. Amen. For God is not unjust to forget your work and the labor of love, although it's very limited what we can do. Yeah. God will not forget. Isn't that wonderful? Yeah. Amen. What can we say, Lord? We thank you. Whatever he has done is for you and me, for every one of us. Yes. And the last stage of his accomplishment is not just to sit on the throne as ruler over the kings of the earth, but for us as the King of righteousness, King of peace. Because this is what we need for the churches. As a great heavenly high priest, for the church, for us, according to the order of Melchizedek, So every time we come to the Lord's table on the Lord's day, you should remember him as the Melchizedek, because he already presented bread and wine to Abraham. Not just a Savior who died, but as Melchizedek, who was the first one who got served with bread and wine. Abraham. Yesterday? And today, he's serving us with the same bread and wine. That means our accomplishment of the Lord, according to Hebrews here, was already done at the foundation of the world. Not just 2,000 years ago. When was the lamb foreordained? What? Even before sin came in? When were you saved? Before the foundation of the world. How do you know that? Because he chose you already before the foundation of the world. Right, Choyun? You should say, praise the Lord, I was saved even before I was born. Foreordained before the foundation of the world. Otherwise, you won't be saved here. Amazing. There's so many things that's beyond our comprehension, beyond our understanding. This is how great God is. Right? You believe in God? Praise the Lord. You were chosen. When? Before the foundation of the world. Too wonderful. Our God is just God. Otherwise, he's not God. But he is God. Okay. This is why even in the book of Hebrews, it says all of this is already done before the foundation of the world. And that's why we can enter into his rest. Yeah. Meaning to say, it's already done. Right, Marina, if you invite us to have dinner or lunch in your home, do we have to cook there in your kitchen? Why not? I want to cook too.
There's only one cooking.
And it's already done, right? It's already done. It is already done. I just have to enter into your house and enjoy. That's entering into his rest. Salvation is done. What do you need to do? Just to believe, receive it. Resurrection is done. That's why Paul, he says, I want to know the power of that resurrection. Not a doctrine and not the reality that Christ was risen, but he wants to experience that. He wants to enter into that reality. Crucified, who is crucified? Paul says, I have been crucified. Don't just believe it's Christ who was crucified and not you. It's not good news if only Christ was crucified and you are not crucified with him. So what is more wonderful? He was crucified or you were also with him? So who was crucified on the cross, Sarah? Christ. Christ and us, we. Not just when we were baptized, but Paul says, I have been crucified with Christ. The baptism just verified and to show you. You're dead. Your old man has been crucified. Wonderful, and risen with him. Not just today, but when he rose, we were all risen together with him. We cannot explain that, but that's a reality. That's the greatness of God. Yeah. And we are entering into that rest of everything that he has accomplished. So how about Zion? Is it already built, or are you building? He's not sure. We have to believe it is done. That doesn't mean that we don't have to do anything, but if it is done, praise the Lord, we just enjoy the reality of the kingdom. Right. I know it sounds like a fairy tale. Unbelievable, right, Sophia? Or is it believable? It is believable because Christ has done it. Faith means it is done. If I was invited to have lunch there at Marina's and Jorge's house, I have to have faith, it's done. Otherwise I have to bring my own food. Bake my own cake. Bring my own fried chicken. Right, Jorge? Do I need to do that? No. You see? Yeah. Exactly. Praise the Lord. Wonderful truth and reality. May the Lord open our eyes to see and to experience. Yeah. Don't just read a Bible, but mingled with the spirit of faith. Amen. We all have the same spirit of faith. To take it in. Praise the Lord. Amen. Okay? Amen.